You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome in to another brand new episode of Locked On Rockets. I'm Ben Dubose of Sports Talk 790, and this is the show where we break down all the latest information as it pertains to your favorite basketball team. And as we sit here on this Thursday afternoon, the big news is obvious. The NBA schedule is finally here. That means we now know the entire 82-game slate for your Houston Rockets in this upcoming 2016-2017 season. You can read the entire schedule for yourself at rockets.com. So without further ado, let's break it down. First and foremost, what stands out to me is that October 26th opener against the LA Lakers. It's a road game, sure, but it's on national TV, and it's against a team the Rockets should be better than. In other words, it's a game they should win, and Rockets fans everywhere in the world will be able to watch. That sounds pretty good, right? Another thing I like is that opening against the Lakers, it's a good omen. Remember that 2014-2015 team that went to the Western Conference Finals? The one 2 years ago that everybody counted out before the season, just like they seem to be doing with this group? Their opening night was a big win at Staples Center against the overmatched Lakers. I'm admittedly reaching there, but after last season, I'll take any good omen that I can find. As far as the rest of the schedule, I do want to get some outside perspective to help me break it down, so I've got Dave Hardesty of ClutchFans.net calling in. So if you guys will hang with me for just 1 second, we'll get him connected. All right, now we've got Dave Hardesty of ClutchFans with us. Dave, welcome to the show.
Ben, how you doing?
Doing well. Thank you for joining us on very quick notice, but it's one of the NBA fans' greatest days, schedule release day. Early thoughts.
I know you
posted on Twitter 7 of 8 games on the road. When you first looked at this, and I know you've just looked at it for a few minutes, what did you think?
Well, you know, it's funny because this is really like the dry spell. That's like the August-September dead period for us, and this is the sort of get hope up a little bit for the coming season. I think you nailed it right there with the 7 of 8. I think that's what jumps out at me off the page. 7 of the first 8 games on the road, and 3 of them are against very good teams in Atlanta, Cleveland, and the Spurs. So I think with a new team, a new coach, that's interesting because it does set them up for people to be down on them early. They may lose a few games, be under 500 after those first 8, and people might be discouraged. But I think it does get easier in other stretches, and it's just going to be a rough start.
Yeah, I feel like that first week of the year is going to be pretty interesting because you open at L.A., which is going to be a nationally televised game. The Lakers should be a little better. And then you have the home-and-home with Dallas. But I think, just looking at it at first glance, if you're the Rockets, I think you really have to hope you can find a way to maybe get 2 of those first 3 games, 2 against the Mavs, 1 against the Lakers, find a way to go 2-1 in that stretch because, if you start 1-2 or 0-3 and then you play at Cleveland, all of a sudden it can get dicey in a hurry.
Yeah, absolutely. And I apologize, you were breaking in. If you get those 2 of the first 3, then I think you might be able to come out of there in a decent position in that first 8. You've got the Knicks in there. The Wizards are in there. So it's possible to certainly get a few wins. And I don't want to discount them right off the bat, beating teams like the Spurs or the Cavs. But I think with a new team and new things to learn, new coach, like I said, I think there's going to be a learning curve. It may take a little while.
Yeah. The flip side, of course, is while they have a tough opening, they have a kind of easy close. And, to go back to last year, that's what saved them. Now, I know it didn't necessarily save them in your eyes because I know you you wanted that draft pick. But, the one thing that we know with the NBA is that if you're playing lottery teams in April, a lot of those teams are just going to completely pack it in. They want to go on vacation or the team just outright wants the higher draft pick, So when you look at the final 6, I'm going to read them to you right now. Phoenix, Denver, Detroit, Sacramento, the Clippers, and Minnesota. Of those 6, I see 3 that should be pretty bad, the Suns, Denver, and Sacramento, and 2, Detroit and Minnesota, that are kind of mediocre. There's at least potential for them to be bad. The only team that you know in there that's going to be good is the Clippers. So looking at it, it's about as friendly an April stretch as you could come up with.
Yeah, I think it's a great situation to be in. As you mentioned last year, I don't want to say have control because the Rockets are never going to try to lose if that was the situation that they were in, because we obviously saw that last last year, but you want to be able to close strong. If you are making a playoff run, you want to be able to win some games. It didn't necessarily help them last year, but you do want to finish strong, and I think that's what you'd probably like to see. I'd probably rather start with a tougher schedule and end with an easier one.
Yeah. One thing that's going to be interesting, though, you look at that stretch in October, November that starts. We talked about it being difficult. I know there's a lot of new faces, but to me, this is just me guessing. I have a hunch that this team might not be as slow out of the gate as a lot of people think. You know, the upside might be limited, but you're going to have a lot of veterans that, you know, kind of fit the system that Mike D'Antoni wants. Now, there's going to be a transition for the existing Rockets, Harden, Beverly, Ariza, stuff like that, to Mike D'Antoni's system. But to me, going with the offseason they've had, going out and getting these veterans, it seems like at least on paper, they might be positioned for a better start than what people might think, seeing all the new faces.
Well, I like the optimism, and I hope that's the case. I think it's tough to peg this team just yet. I mean, we do see a lot of offense, and there's a lot of potential. I look back to really maybe the first year of Harden with the Rockets, where I think this team has that kind of potential now.
Sure.
From the outside. There were a few games that year, I believe it was 2012-13, where you had guys like Morris and Patterson nailing threes. They now have Anderson a stretch four. They've got Gordon, who's a great shooter if he's healthy. They have potential here in that they're going to shoot a lot of threes and that they're going to be more efficient than they have been in the previous last couple of seasons. It's just hard to tell where are they going to be defensively.
Yeah.
What does D'Antoni change of this team that they had before? Personally, I'm still anticipating a trade of some sort. I think it may be a smaller one.
Before the season?
I think before the season, because at least it's not going to be from lack of trying. I 100% know that. But they have some surplus in some areas, and I know that they want to shore up in their, if I was to quote them, it would be defensive deficiencies that they recognize. So I would not be surprised if you see a two-for-one, at least several attempts in that area of trying to add another player. But, certainly, Harden running the show, lots of threes, that's not new. That's not going to be completely different to the guys who have been on this team the last couple of years. So as far as that, there won't be a huge learning curve.
Yeah. Turning back to the schedule a little bit, one of the other things, besides just how you open, how you close, holiday dates, one of the things that's interesting about the schedule is that you get to see who in the West you play three times and who in the West you play four times. And so I did a quick run through of that. There are four teams.
Oh,
yeah, there are four teams that they play only three times. And those are the Clippers, the Blazers, the Jazz, and the Lakers. So just looking at the West, this is just my first glance. I think they actually have to feel pretty good about that. You know, in an ideal world, of course, you'd save a game against the Warriors or the Spurs. But, the Clippers, Trailblazers, Jazz, and Lakers, three of those four should be playoff teams. So in terms of the lottery teams that you want to play, the lottery teams, the Lakers, getting four against everybody but the Lakers feels like a decent draw.
Yeah, I had not run that analysis, but that's actually kind of interesting. I do agree with that. I certainly the Clippers and the Blazers jump off the page to me as some teams that have given the Rockets trouble at different times. And I think the Jazz as well, when healthy, they're they are a very good defensive team, and I think they're a team that's on the rise. So I agree. I think three of those four teams are ones that you'd like to face as little as possible. And the Lakers are just, they're still a young team that you probably want to face, but that's just the price you pay to get three others.
Sure. National TV games, huge drop-off. We expected some of it. It looks right now like there are eight games. I'm not counting the national TV. You surprised at all with them falling to the single digits in national TV?
I am not. I think others mentioned that they were surprised. I'm not. I think this was a very humbling offseason. I don't mean this in a negative sense. I just think it was kind of like, okay, look, you guys had a very poor season, and your reputation really, I think, took a hit. And I think, there were different reasons given about why they didn't get a meeting with Durant, but I think not getting a meeting with Durant was indicative of this. And so I think losing Howard, they're just no longer that projected championship contender. And I think it's possibly a good thing. The bar of expectations isn't too high on them. They can take a step back on that and, come out and perform. And I think try to fit more into the more modern NBA as opposed to, you know, what we saw last year, which was quite painful.
Yeah. In terms of big picture stuff for this season, I think that's going to be the most refreshing change for them, is that they're not really weighted down by the expectations the way they were before. You know, everything they did last year was, of course, mentioned in the context of championship contention, because that's what they were expected to do before the season. And so when it comes to, you know, attracting stars in free agency like Kevin Durant, there's just this cloud over them. You know, and the one thing I go back to, the one year that they have really succeeded in free agency was with Dwight Howard back in, what was it, 2013. And of course, they had this feel-good year with Harden and no other stars the year before, got to the playoffs, kind of exceeded expectations. And so to me, what it looks like, both from a system fit, you drew the comparison earlier of these Rockets to the 2012-2013 ones, as well as bigger picture expectations, you know, I think the Rockets are kind of, you know, I don't want to say they're happy with the lack of exposure, but they can see some positives in it, because it allows them to, you know, potentially overachieve for a change rather than underachieve.
Yeah, you know, and I personally feel, and again, it's just an opinion, but I've often wondered, why did the Rockets give, you know, 50-some-odd extra $50 million to James Harden, plus a player option of some $30 million, just for what amounted to one extra season? And I think it's because of this same approach that they have. They're looking for that second star to build a championship contender, and they did take a step back this year. They couldn't afford to try to rebuild their reputation for 1 year and then have Harden in a lame duck situation. They needed it in another 2 years. So this is the year that they have to, you know, I keep saying rebuild reputation, but become sort of a strong location for a star player, kind of how they switched from when Dwight Howard did not want to be here, and then in 1 year, suddenly he did, and that's because the team and Simic.
Yeah, I would agree on that completely. I had said before, the prospect of Harden's 2018 free agency would have been a huge cloud over them next summer in July 2017, because, you know, with him going into his last year of a contract, I can't imagine anyone giving Houston that serious of a look. You know, now that he's still under contract for multiple years, what it does, it essentially gives you a realistic shot in 2017 free agency, whereas, you know, if you hadn't extended Harden, there would have been a huge question mark just overlooking the entire franchise. Anyway, Dave, thank you so much for the time. Why don't you toss out your Twitter handle, and why don't you plug your story? Because I know you just put up a blog on the schedule.
I appreciate it. Yeah, the Twitter handle is Clutch Fans, and it's up actually on clutchfans.net. It just talks a little bit about the schedule, and there's going to be some more added to it, but the first early thoughts on it. And I appreciate it, man. It's always fun talking with you, Ben, and it's good catching up on the Rockets.
Definitely, and happy 20th anniversary for the site too, bud.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
We'll catch up soon, man.
All right. Take care.
All right. Bye. That was Dave Hardesty of clutchfans.net. Dropped some really interesting intel, not just on the schedule, but about the Rockets trade outlook, saying that he feels confident they are trying to make a move. We've talked about a consolidation move before, but not just a consolidation move, a move for more defense. That's interesting, because when you look at where these consolidation moves could come, you're really looking at just a small handful of spots. Maybe they could bring in a point guard that's defensive-minded, but more than anything, I think you're looking at another wing. Because James Harden and Eric Gordon have their defensive deficiencies, and you're not really sure about who's behind them. We've talked before about the competition with Sam Decker, KJ McDaniels, and Corey Brewer. Maybe you can bring in another 3-and-D guy there. As far as bigs up front, you're mostly set there if Donatas Moniunis returns, which it looks like at this point he is. We've not heard any rumors to the contrary, and even if he did, he's a restricted free agent, so the Rockets could still match. So it's interesting to me, if you're looking to bring in more defense, it's not going to be at center, because I think Capella and Nene, you're set there. You're not going to have more than two centers playing big minutes, and neither of those guys, Capella and Nene, can play anywhere but center, especially not in a fast-paced offense like Mike D'Antoni. Power forward, you know Ryan Anderson's going to play at least 30 minutes a night based on his $80 million contract. You know Trevor Ariza is going to play some small ball four, and assuming Donatas Moniunis is back, he's going to get some minutes as well. So maybe if they were to sign and trade Moniunis elsewhere, you could get more of a defender at power forward. But truth be told, I doubt that's a high priority, because my guess is that in a Mike D'Antoni system, Trevor Ariza is going to be playing a decent bit of small ball four, as he already did this past season. So where that could really leave you looking for defense is at the wings. If Ariza is a little bit more in your big mix, and you're looking at playing James Harden and Eric Gordon, neither of whom are great defenders, at the wing spots, you do have room for another guy there, maybe someone that's more defensive-oriented. And, you know, there are options. Maybe Corey Brewer has a bounce-back year. Maybe Sam Decker or KJ McDaniels makes the leap. But I think the Rockets would love a more proven force. So my guess, if they do make a consolidation trade, that's where they're looking. 3-and-D guys. Maybe an outside shot at point guard. But to me, if they were looking for a point guard, I think they would have gone more after Aaron Brooks, Jarrett Jacks, someone in that tier earlier this offseason rather than Pablo Prigioni. For them to go after Pablo Prigioni tells me that they're not really in the point guard space other than for depth. I think while Pat Beverly is a starter, James Harden is going to play there a decent bit too. And so I think, you know, they'd add a point guard if it were the right fit. If it were a guy they really liked, would they? Sure, but I just don't think it's a huge priority unless it's someone that they specifically want. So if we're looking at just a consolidation move to bring in defense, my hunch is you're looking at a 3-and-D guy. But anyway, that's all speculative. That's just based on what Dave told us during his interview. Again, that's Dave Hardesty of Clutch Fans. And turning back to the schedule, we've looked at it fairly comprehensively already. But big things, aside from the highlights, aside from how they start, who they play three times instead of four, and how they finish. Dwight Howard, they play him for the first time on November 5th. That's in Atlanta. And then, of course, he comes to Houston for the first time, his first return to Toyota Center since leaving the Rockets on February 2nd. That's a Thursday. I would urge you guys all to cheer him on. Dwight, for all of his flaws, he was a great representative for Houston, great in the community, great in the locker room. He absolutely gave his all. It just didn't work out. More than anything, it was his body that was breaking down. So hopefully when he returns on February 2nd, he gets a nice draw. There are no holiday dates, which you would expect. Or no significant holiday dates, I should say, given that the Rockets underachieved last year for the same reason as the lack of national TV. No Christmas Day game, no MLK. However, they do have their regular New Year's Eve game. That's December 31st at home against the New York Knicks. They are also home the night before that on December 30th against the Clippers. So you have a really nice, if you're looking at the holidays, that's a pretty nice little weekend trip. Friday, December 30th, against the Clippers, and then Saturday the 31st against the Knicks. And then, for that matter, Monday the 2nd against the Wizards. So yeah, you have a very nice four-game homestand right around New Year's that if you're traveling or home for the holidays, that's a good one to hit up. Also, Super Bowl weekend. The Super Bowl is in Houston this year. That may as well be a holiday. You've got a pretty busy week there. Tuesday, January 31st, that's a Tuesday before the Kings are home. Then Thursday, February 2nd, the Hawks. Friday the 3rd, the Bulls. You can bet that the Rockets, knowing that there's a very captive audience of, you know, Houston being the sports capital of the universe that week, you know, they wanted some home games and they got them. Tuesday, February 7th, after the Super Bowl, they have the Magic here in Houston. So I don't think that's a coincidence that the Rockets have a four-game homestand right around the Super Bowl. I think that's something that they wanted and hopefully can bring some full houses to the Toyota Center because, again, it's going to be a rough start to the year from Wednesday, the 26th of October, until Saturday, the 12th. For basically the first 2.5 weeks of the year, you are going to have one home game. That's Sunday, October 30th against the Mavs. 7 of the first 8 on the road. It may not be the best start to the season because of that. So you hope that the schedule eases up at other parts. It has. And like I said, besides that, there's not too much to complain about because of those teams you play three times instead of four, three of them being the Clippers, the Blazers, and the Jazz, those should all be playoff teams. So I think you feel pretty good about that. Warriors, I know, you know, there's a little bit of rivalry, sure, between Stephen Curry and James Harden, going back to the MVP battle of 2014-2015, but the Warriors are not the Rockets' rivals anymore. Let's just be real. The Warriors are a class, maybe two classes ahead of the Rockets. But first home game against the Warriors, January 20th. I know that's going to be a hot ticket. And then the second home game against the Warriors is in late March. That's March 28th, a Tuesday. So, yeah, it's one of those, you want to see the Warriors because they're a great team. That's good, but if you're the Rockets, you would certainly love to not play the Warriors four times or the Spurs four times, and unfortunately, that did not happen. They did catch some breaks, but the teams at the top of the West, the Warriors, the Spurs, they are going to be playing those a lot. So I think that will about wrap it up on this NBA schedule release day. Thanks again to Dave Hardesty of Clutch Fans for joining us. Great guy, personal friend of mine, runs the best Rockets blog out there, really the best NBA blog period, I would say. Amazing message boards that can connect you with some tremendously insightful Rockets fans. If you're not a member, I would urge you to go to clutchfans.net and join. It's a tremendous resource for everyone affiliated with the Houston Rockets community. Again, I'm Ben Dubose. You can find me on Twitter at Ben Dubose. You can also find my work at sports790.com. That's the official flagship station of the Rockets. As far as this show, this is Locked On Rockets. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And you can find us on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. You can email us at lockedonrockets@gmail.com. with any questions. We have regular Twitter mailbag segments or advertising inquiries. And I also encourage you guys to check out our sister podcast, Locked On Texans. I know there's a great Houston sports community, and just as we're establishing this daily podcast here for the Rockets, that's what Aaron Wilson, Texans beat writer for the Houston Chronicle, is doing over at Locked On Texans. It's also a part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and if you haven't subscribed already, I would encourage you. The Texans start preseason play this weekend against the 49ers. There's a ton of interesting things going on over at NRG Park. Jadeveon Clowney, hopefully his knee is okay, hadn't practiced in a week. That's a red flag. There's a lot to learn about the recovery of J.J. Watt from back surgery. And, you know, it's the integration. Does Houston finally have a franchise quarterback in Brock Osweiler? We'll start to find out this weekend. There's a lot going on at NRG, and so I encourage you guys all to like and subscribe to Locked On Texans. You can find them on iTunes, on Audio Boom, and on many of the same sites where you can find us at Locked On Rockets. And with that, I'm going to sign off for this week. It's been a good NBA schedule release episode, and next week we'll be back with a handful of basketball analysis. I think we're really going to focus on the Olympics, because starting this weekend, we're going to get towards the medal rounds, towards games that are more significant. And so I'm going to both look at the Rockets players. Nene is the Rockets player who is in the Olympics right now on Team Brazil. And there's also Joe Chi of Team China and Sergio Yule of Team Spain. Those are players who the Rockets hold the international rights to. So there's a lot of interesting things to watch. And so I'm going to have some interviews next week that can help explain how they're faring and why Rockets fans should be happy or sad, whatever the games tell us. We'll be watching, and we'll talk to you very early next week. So with that, I'm going to sign off. Again, this is Ben Dubose, and this is Locked On Rockets. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be talking to you again soon.